Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast.
This EDUCAUSE 2009 annual conference podcast is sponsored by Juniper Networks and Quest Communications International.
Hello, this is Colin Curry. I'm podcasting from EDUCAUSE 2009 conference in Denver, Colorado. I'm joined for a conversation today with William Rankin. He's associate professor and director of educational innovation for Abilene Christian University in Texas. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
First off, could you describe, just at a high level, what is mobile learning, and then describe the mobile learning initiative at Abilene Christian University?
You bet. I think definitions of mobile learning are changing, I think, as we understand mobility more and more. So the move from desktop to laptop was a move towards mobile learning. But we're thinking especially about mobile learning with hypermobile devices like the iPhone and iPod Touch. So these are very powerful computers, more powerful than the original iMac, for example, but I carry them around in my pocket, and they're always on the network. And so part of what we wanted to think about at ACU was, how does that kind of mobility change teaching? We're treating that as a new educational platform, really, thinking about it more than just as a device, but as a new platform for learning that allows us to go all kinds of places and do a lot of things you couldn't do even with a laptop. So we've been giving out iPhones and iPod Touches. This is our second year, and we've given them out to each successive freshman class. So we're about 50% saturated. I think actually it's 49.4% of our students have them. Most of our faculty, we've got about 96% of our faculty with these devices, and a lot of our staff as well. So we're really trying to move the whole university this direction. We did some things like, we used to have computer labs in each of our dormitories, which made a lot of sense when we put them in back in the 90s. We have 96% of our students arriving with their own computer, typically a laptop. So as we looked at the usage of those things, we recognized that they were being used primarily between midnight and 3 a.m. and primarily for first-person shooter games. And so rather than continuing those lab computers, we left ports available so people could hook in their own laptops, and we used the money we used to invest in those computers to help fund these devices.
Interesting. Do you think that this has encouraged your juniors and seniors to buy their own so that they can jump on board as well?
You know, some of them have gotten their own just because it's a really hot device. Obviously, these things are sweeping the country and, in fact, other countries as well. We're also trying to make sure, though, that students who are in classes that are primarily freshmen and sophomores, even if they're juniors and seniors retaking the classes or maybe they transferred in, that they get access to these devices. And so we do have a big sort of loaner pool where people get them for a whole semester or whatever just to use on their own. A lot of our juniors and seniors do have these, and next year, obviously, as we move in, it will be juniors and below, and we're really looking at ways to just finish the saturation next year.
So how are you using these mobile devices now to aid in learning?
Well, we're using them in lots of ways. What we've really tried to do is just to encourage experimentation. So we see lots of different kinds of uses of these devices. One of the things we added this year to our mobile portal, and we have a web-based portal that we use for most of our teaching. We've put a lot of services together there for faculty and students, access to information about the university and the town, but also some very class-specific things. And one of the things we built this year was we built some WordPress blogs, actually, that are built into this. And we modified a tool called Posty that allows you to submit anything through email to the blog site. And so we've got a lot of people experimenting with this sort of as a new kind of LMS. You know, anywhere I go, if I've got my iPhone, I can take a picture or a movie, record audio files, find a cool website or YouTube link, and I just email that in to an email address that's built for each class. And it's automatically, the subject line becomes the title of the post, and it scrapes out the content and throws away your signature file. And so then it's open for people to comment on. So we're seeing a lot of that kind of stuff. We're seeing people use these devices as a kind of super clicker for student response systems. We've built a little tool we call NanoTools that lets people do very quick on-the-fly polls of classes. So we're seeing that kind of thing. We're seeing a lot of people explore new ways to integrate the web into their classes. We've got several people using native apps of various kinds. One of our art teachers has moved his classes so that they're doing actually drafts on their iPhone before they, you know, start working with Paint or with various kinds of tools. And so that's really interesting, too. By and large, we also see people beginning to move away from the classroom, which is something we kind of hoped would happen. So I'm a medievalist, as you would expect. I've thought a lot about educational theory from the Middle Ages. And one of the things that happened when we got books is we moved more and more into classrooms where you had to simulate what was happening. So you learn about the forest, not in the forest where you might have once learned about it, but you learn about it in a classroom where you simulate the forest by bringing various kinds of information in. But with these devices, we can actually go and learn in the forest again, or learn, do service learning in town. Sociology students can go and study at, say, low-income housing. And it changes the way people understand information, the way they engage with the world. So we're really excited about that.
And what's been your assessment of the project so far?
We're seeing very positive results from our students. They really like it. We've had a really great study in one of our chemistry classes where the chemistry teacher divided the class in divided actually a couple of different sections, but one section, everybody had an iPhone or iPod Touch and the others didn't, and they were very comparable. And what she did is she moved her lectures onto 5-minute podcasts for the mobile section and did it the old-fashioned way, did 15-minute lectures about lab safety and protocols and things like that and how to do various experiments for the other sections. The students in the iPhone section, the iPhone and iPod Touch section, worked much more independently, were able to work sort of faster and more efficiently, contacted instructors less because they had this information. But they also did better on exams, and so that's an interesting move. We know that the biggest changes really are in student perception. They feel more connected. They feel like they are learning more adeptly than they did previously, and so we're keeping an eye on that, but we see really positive signs so far from our first year's data. You know, about 92% of our students are in favor, feel positive about this program. About 6% are neutral, and about 2% don't like it. And what we saw over the first year was the people who didn't like it more by the end of the year than they did at the beginning of the year. So I think there are some people for whom this doesn't feel quite right.
How do you see mobile learning developing in the coming months and years, especially as these devices gain functionality and additional computing power?
There's some interesting changes we're seeing already at our university. A number of professors with laptops are starting to leave their laptops at their offices because they're too bulky to carry around. And so they take their iPhone home and they do their email and they do whatever browsing and you know, whatever interactions, that digital interactions they want to do on their iPhones. I think that's an interesting trend. We know that people, especially with iPhones, don't leave them. They carry them with them 100% of the time virtually. And I know I do mine as well. It's once you've got one of these devices, you come to rely on it in so many ways. So I think we're going to see a continued move towards mobility. How that impacts teaching, I think, is an interesting question. One of the things we've seen with the move from the original iPhone through the 3G to the 3GS now is that these devices are becoming more and more capable as creation tools. Originally, they were really just consumption tools, so I could watch things or view things or visit, you know, sites or whatever on these devices. But now there are several interesting movie editors with the ability to capture audio. This actually is a great podcasting platform now. So I think you'll see these more and more as creation devices. And I think that's going to be interesting as we move into people working on educational projects. I think as we continue to move into the future, we're going to see more and more desire for this kind of easy mobility that I just slip in my pocket. I think the way it changes teaching is it really does allow us to restore context to teaching. We're in the middle of the Great Prairies of Texas. We have an ag school and they teach range management. I think it would be really fascinating to teach range management on the range, where not only are you understanding how the range works and different kinds of plants and animals that are there and how that might affect livestock, but I can take pictures of those various kinds of plants. I can find out information about the pests that maybe affect them or the different animals that live off of them right there. But I'm also, as I'm doing this now, taking geotagged photos. So I'm actually building a map of that ecosystem. So I'm not just consuming information. I'm really creating information for other people as well. And I think you're going to see that more and more as this new generation of mobile devices emerges.
Incredible.
And I know for myself, I interact with information in a different way with this device than I did even with a laptop. You know, if I have a brainstorm, if I think about something, if I'm wanting to know a piece of information, I can find it out right there. And I think that direct connection is really going to transform the way people interact. I think we're going to see that in lots of different ways. I know for many of my students, it actually encourages them to explore in ways that they weren't willing to explore before. And so it's actually leading, I think, to richer learning experiences overall.
What advice would you have for universities considering an initiative similar to yours? Are there any lessons that you've learned that you could share with the rest of us?
One of the things we've recognized is that the more pervasive these are, the better. Another interesting statistic, we've discovered a significant gap between the way iPhones and iPod touches are perceived and used by students. So our students will always have their iPhone with them, but they'll have their iPod touch with them about 20% less, about 80% of the time. And part of the reason for that, we think, is that it lacks the social connection. It'll be interesting to see how this changes now that the App Store is open and there are a lot of apps that allow you to do things like SMS texting on the iPod touch, even voice over IP. I think the social piece is critical, and a lot of people have asked us, well, how do you get rid of the social piece? And what we've said is, in fact, we want to embrace the social piece and the entertainment piece because those are the things that get us ubiquity in the classroom. So you can't underestimate, I think, the need to really have these devices in lots of people's hands.
What's the faculty reaction been like?
We gave these devices to faculty sort of first before we launched our initiative, just to let the faculty play with them, and I think that's really important. We've also made sure not to require this of anybody. So there are no requirements for using these devices in class. No teacher has to do anything with them. And that flexibility, I think, has been very important. And we called this an experiment from the beginning because it is. We don't know what's going to happen. And so we're at to discover not just great things, but if there are drawbacks as well. We haven't turned up anything major so far, but that kind of intellectual freedom, I think, has really let the faculty explore and has diminished, I think, negative perspectives. I'm a faculty member. I love it.
Before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think it's not just us that are viewing these devices as a platform. I think it'll be very interesting to see how these continue to impact higher education especially.
Okay.
This EDUCAUSE 2009 Annual Conference Podcast is sponsored by Juniper Networks and Quest Communications International. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening. Thank you.